The cowboys, the wrestlers, the tumblers, the clowns, the roustabouts that move the show at dawn.
The music, the spotlights, the people, the towns, your baggage with the labels pasted on. The sawdust and the horses and the smell, the towel you've taken from the last hotel. There's no business like show business, like no business.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to our second annual Academy Awards special. And I'm joined in studio here by the lovely Miss Miran Lee. How are you?
You like me. You really like me.
And we're also joined by the little geek. How are you, Nicholas?
Hello.
Hello. Now, for those who have never listened to a Geek Actually podcast before, I would actually say stop listening right at this point. This is not a normal show. This is not the normal Geek Actually show. We do that on Saturdays, and I would say go back and listen to one of those, then come back.
Yes, this is an addendum.
This is an addendum. This is something we do. We started it last year. Jacob and I did it last year, actually.
Yeah. That's actually the first episode.
Sorry?
That's actually the first year we'll...
It was the first year I was doing it at the time. We did the first annual Academy Award wrap-up. And basically what we've done is we've just finished watching the Academy Awards live.
Mm-hmm.
It started about 4 days ago.
Yes. And I'm a lot older now.
Yes, and...
I'm 30 now.
Nikki's in high school.
The not-so-little geek.
Yeah.
And we're basically going to just run a short little post-mortem to the events that we have just taken
place. Because we managed to stay awake this year. Because it wasn't as bad as it usually is.
And I just realized...
Actually, it's badder.
and I just realized that I never actually introduced myself. I'm David McVeigh.
I'm your regular host of the
Geek Actually podcast. And let's get this thing started. I've taken copious notes here. And just let's say, I want to start this off by saying that Steve Martin, Alec Baldwin...
Wow. What a team.
They absolutely rocked.
I think I laughed on every line.
Yeah, I think they...
Thank God.
And when I first heard that they were going to do this, I was actually very concerned because I thought that they both have the potential to be very pretentious on their own.
Yeah.
But having them play off each other was... a joy.
Wasn't it just refreshing?
It was. We were going to try and dig up some clips and stuff, but because it's so fresh, I don't even think clips have even hit YouTube yet. I do suggest that if you haven't watched it,
get at least the opening monologue.
Yeah, you got to watch at least the opening monologue and Neil
Patrick. Duologue.
And if you have a better sound mix than we had, Neil Patrick Harris. This is one of our gripes. We'll come back to that in a minute. But Neil Patrick Harris came out and sang a song. Now, production-wise, I think that this Oscars was... Was a downside.
Was one of the worst. And I'd like to say, for people who don't know, they have awards for award shows. So when the Emmys come around, and the Oscars often
This ain't going to win the Emmy.
This ain't going to win the Emmy because there were just too many problems. And we've been trying...
Who directed this thing?
Yeah, I know what to say. It felt like a different director. We didn't get the director. No. We're naughty. But
They didn't run any credits.
They didn't run any credits at the end. And look, honestly, you're just looking at it going, hello, what are you doing? We couldn't see half the people. They didn't put supers under the names.
We could never hear the announcer announcing who was coming out.
The sound mix was appalling.
Sound mix was terrible. They actually kept playing the music at one point while two people were trying to talk, and we couldn't hear what they were saying.
Can I just say for people, because you never know who's listening, but you know, a sound mix thing is really important. For those of you who don't realize, they have the ability to make that music lower and let the voices be heard. You know,
boy, you got a multi-track deck there.
Exactly. You know? And there's no excuse for that.
And the biggest shame of this was when Neil Patrick Harris came out and said, what am I doing here?
Yes.
I'm a big fan of Neil Patrick Harris.
Me too.
He came out and he sang a number we couldn't hear him singing.
And they look like witty lyrics. We got the first line.
Now, the audience was laughing, which means that obviously they could hear it, but we at home couldn't hear it.
No,
so the mix was awful. Now, what I'm hoping is when is this... Now, we're in Australia, as most of you would know, and we are watching it live during the day. Now, we'll get refed tonight.
We've already seen it on YouTube.
we'll get it refed tonight on network television in its nighttime slot. And... I'm hoping that when it's not live off the satellite, they have some time to do some cleanup on this. Because we had sound dropouts.
It's like from the satellite,
the satellite feed was not brilliant. But we got to see it, and I'm glad we saw it, because I think it's actually probably one of the best Academy Awards I've seen in some time.
I felt relief. I thought, honestly, I always, you know, both of us have always loved the Oscars. It was always a big joy to watch. And the last few years, you just go, what the fuck? You know, I mean, it's just... And let's not forget that we were a bit scared because remember the early talk of hosts? You know, they were getting so desperate. They're thinking, well, how about Russell Brand? What? No, that won't work. And then they even at one point said Howard Stern. We're going, what world are you in? And finally to come out with Steve and Alec, who just, you know, I mean, they were irreverent. And that's what the Oscars need. Otherwise, they get too... Ernest.
They absolutely nailed it. I thought their opening scenes where they were actually talking about all the different people who were nominated and making fun of all the people.
Yes.
And that was just, and everybody was getting the joke and they were going along with it. It was funny.
Because the Oscars have become about conformity. As you know, I sit there throwing things at the TV, seeing all the women looking alike and all the men in their suits. And thank God, you know, we see a beret on, as you said, Samuel L. Jackson, because it was something a bit different.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, we're supposed to be creative.
Now, he always has a beret on, so.
I know,
you know
but still, with a tuxedo. I mean, but it's supposed to be about creative, funky people, and they all look like they're coming out of a cookie cutter, and we're going, who is that? Oh, my God, it's what's-her-name. You know, we didn't recognize her. I mean, it's become a bit scary, actually.
Yeah.
And so I was just wonderful to see Alec and Steve, and I hope they continue next year, because, I mean, them as the host, and also maybe a bit more nonconformity, because, they, you know, and groundbreaking this year, so maybe.
Absolutely. Yeah, we'll come back to that. Now, this is spoiler-riddled, so if you haven't seen the Oscars yet, you don't want to know about who won, I would suggest you pause this, come back to it after you've seen the Oscars. For the American listeners, it's already been, so you're fine. But yeah, we are going to be talking about the winners, so please be aware that this is spoiler-ridden. Now, this was the 82nd Academy Awards, and what is it? This is the first time there have been 10 nominations.
Since 1943. When it was Casablanca was in it.
That's right. And the reason, of course...
And Casablanca won for them.
One of the reasons why they actually put the 10 nominations in this year was that everybody was upset that The Dark Knight didn't get nominated last year, and so there was this talk that if they put 10 nominations, films that would normally be overlooked might get a look in.
But of course, it's a special kind of stupid.
Because
then you only have five actors. What?
Five directors. Five actors. Everything else is five.
You know? It's just, you know, I mean, I love that line that Steve Martin. Steve Martin said, you know, in Hollywood, you know, they don't know what two times five makes ten, you know, and they're going, oh, but they could only handle it for the films, I think. Now, that didn't work, and it'll be interesting to see what they do next year. I personally, as you know, would like to see 10 people in, you know, the nominees. Although, to do that, the show would need probably a couple of weeks. So
yeah.
That would be...
Now, the question is, though, that if there was only five films nominated... Mm. I think the five films would have still been the five films which were the top favorites anyway. So you still would have had, it would have been Avatar, it would have been Hurt Locker, it would have been Precious, it would have been An Education, and it probably would have been A Serious Man, and the rest of them would have been Bing.
But let's face it, the other thing that keeps getting talked about and never done anything about is what they really need to do is stop this shit with so many films being made, one best film of the year. We need to break it down to categories because no comedy is ever going to win
that's
best
picture. That's what the
Golden
Globes does. Golden Globes does best comedy.
Absolutely.
And best drama.
And they need to take a hint out of it. To put an animation film up for best film of the year against
The Golden Globes actually separate best dramatic performances to best comedic performances as well, and yet the Golden Globes are still shorter than the Oscars.
Yes, absolutely. Well, you know, I'm sorry. You know, having a heart transplant is shorter than the Oscars. It's just ridiculous.
And what was with the interpretive dance in the middle?
Oh, please. Interpretive dance.
Look,
and they stood up for it. They encouraged them.
A while ago, when we did the music award, they used to do a montage of the movie while they played some of the score.
Hey, that makes sense.
That actually makes sense.
Yeah.
Absolutely, Nicholas. That makes sense. And here we have a bunch of people called the Legion of Extraordinary Dancers.
Who weren't.
Come out and interpret. One of them was doing like explosion forms with his body for Hurt Locker. And it was so embarrassing. And you sit there and it went on for so long. And you sit there and go, I don't care.
And not even color. Not even color with the costumes. There was nothing exciting.
Yeah, they should have had blue costumes for the Avatar people.
Something. I mean, you know... Again, don't you love Ben Stiller? Ben Stiller comes out in the Avatar makeup with a tail and stuff, and you think, this is what we need irreverence, we need fun. And you have got some of the best dancers in the world
now,
in America.
Speaking of the Ben Stiller thing,
apparently,
last minute, Sacha Baron Cohen was actually supposed to do that sketch with him.
Oh, is that right?
And Sacha Baron Cohen was supposed to come out as a female Na'vi, and he was going to come out and hit on James Cameron in the audience.
Oh, that would have been good.
They actually pulled the sketch.
Because of James being
They were afraid they were going to offend James Cameron.
Oh, yeah, everybody's afraid.
And they said the last thing, because he's not known for his sense of humor.
Oh, God, no.
And the last thing they said they wanted was to see James Cameron walking out of the Oscars.
Isn't that sad?
And so Sacha Baron Cohen
To have seen him walk out.
I think Sacha Baron Cohen coming out as the female Na'vi
would have been
one of the funniest moments on television. And yet we bowed to the power of Cameron.
Well, you know, it's kind of sad when you watch people in the audience and somebody will get a joke that's, you know, that one of the hosts or somebody will do something that's a little bit risque and everybody puts their hands over their mouths like somebody had said cunt and you know, and farted or something. And you think, you know, honest to God, what the hell?
Now, we do have a 10-year-old in the studio.
Oh, he knows what it is. He knows what it. He knows it as a vajayjay. And that's Oprah's fault. I just find it really that, you know, that wasn't a big thing that happened, guys. How conforming are you getting? You know, and this is to me what's wrong with Hollywood in general, and why we're getting nothing but sequels and prequels and goddamn, because people
and
are
remakes.
Just, and remakes
and remakes, reimaginings, remakes, reboots,
reboots, because people are just getting so conformist. We can't have conformity. I'm sorry, in the creative field, you know. Otherwise, nothing gets created. You know. So no, I'm so delighted when I see something a little bit risque or out of the box, and that's what we had this year.
All right. So let's talk a little bit about the awards. Okay. So we've got. First of all, I want to say that we all were aware that for some reason we started to say, "And the winner is."
Yes,
that which was very, very, very odd because we haven't done
and
that.
And they
for
changed
years.
The rules halfway through.
Because then when they got the Best Actress, what did they do?
Yes, they say, and the Oscar goes, which again pisses me off. I'm a very angry person because that it's the same thing as lining the people up to as you say, sniff their butt and say, we love
Stop
you, we love
sniffing.
You, we love you. Because it's all come back to this, there's no winners or losers. I'm sorry.
There is.
Get over it. You have enough awards to spread around, for God's sakes. If you didn't get the Oscar, maybe you got the New York Critics Circle's Deli Award or
last
something.
Last year, they tried something new and they brought out five actors who have worked with the nominee. And they did this whole speech. And Jake and I actually made the note that the first time they did it, we actually went, oh, that's kind of sweet. Yeah. But then it got boring real fast.
Well, I'm allergic to Ernest.
Yeah,
so
it got boring real fast.
Really long. Boring talking about lead actors. Didn't
Nikki's
work
reading his
last
notes.
Year, not working this
now,
year.
Now, I got to say that Nikki actually came in halfway through because he was at school today. And he comes in halfway through and immediately starts jotting notes as he walks in the door.
He's our budding reviewer. You know.
It's like, and he really wanted to be on here today. But it was one of those situations where this is something that didn't work very well last year, and why did we do it again? And the Oscars were going along at such a crisp pace. They were moving really fast.
Brought it
they
to
were
a standstill.
Funny, and it just dragged us down.
And everybody criticized it last year and said, what are you doing?
I know.
And it wasn't even consistent because it wasn't even everybody's co-star. I mean, they bring Michelle Pfeiffer out for Jeff Bridges. Why wasn't Maggie Gyllenhaal doing it?
Yes.
You know, it doesn't make any sense. And it's a really stupid thing to do. And again, slows down the Oscars.
Absolutely. So there was lots of butt sniffing and basically everybody saying, oh, aren't we sweet and aren't we beautiful?
Oh, God.
Yeah, and I didn't like that. But let's have a look at some of these awards and basically say we've
and
got...
And how many did you pick?
I picked quite a few of them.
David did.
Yeah, I picked quite a few of them, but let's just go through them and say that Best Supporting Actor went to Christoph Waltz, which was completely predictable. Yeah. And that's from Inglourious Basterds.
And if he hadn't got it, everybody would have gone, what the... You know.
Yeah, there would have been a complete uproar.
And if you haven't seen him in this film... Well, you know, go see it. You know,
it's on Blu-ray.
Steal it,
it's on Blu-ray DVD now. Go get it.
Oh, is it on there? Oh,
yeah, it's on Blu-ray now. Get it now because this is the. I really hate the fact that we break up supporting and best actor because Christoph Waltz was just the best thing in that film.
Yes, the levels.
Now the second one was a bit of a contention. I actually picked this one. I said this is a given,
and I didn't because I didn't want it.
There's no chance that it's not going to have Mirren. Mirren fought it tooth and nail to the end.
But I hope the politics because she had a lot of bad press. But
we reviewed the film on the last show. Which was Monique won Best Supporting Actress for Precious, based on the novel Push by Sapphire.
Oh God, if I have to say that one, and I'm sorry, but you know, again, Ernest, you know, gave me a rash.
And, as soon as I saw the film, I said, "There's that one scene at the end." I just went, "She wins the Oscar," and the Oscar goes too. You know,
and what I want to know is what you said. I want to know why the camera cut to Samuel L. Jackson, who then. Looked like he rolled his eyes.
Came up and she gave her speech and she did this weird speech about how it wasn't about doing the right thing. It was about, whatever it was. But at the end of it, Samuel Jackson gave this very weird eye roll.
Yeah.
And it was almost like, was he
saying... And pursed his lips or something.
Yeah, and I just felt like, was he saying, you go girl, or was he saying, ooh, too much?
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. Very, very odd reaction. Yeah. And then we throw it a commercial. So,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Now, Best Actress. Now, this was probably the surprise of the year.
And I did get a lump.
And it was wonderful.
I actually thought they might, for the first time since we think Katharine Hepburn in Lion and Winter with whoever it was.
Do a co-win.
Because we all know, if you don't know, I mean, really, let's just say briefly what the Oscars are all about. It's their time. We're going to give them the Oscar for the role they did 10 years ago and we never gave it to them. We're going to give it because it's, you know. For
all those near misses.
We're going to give it because, haven't we given it to a black person in 50 years? Oh, we better. Or whatever, you know, the hell it is. And Meryl has had more nominations than anybody. She had 16 nominations And they said, you know, she hasn't had an Oscar in 20 years, and it's ridiculous. Somebody said, it's ridiculous that she has as many Oscars as Hilary Swank. It's insane.
Yes, what is it, 16 noms, 2 wins. I actually always thought she had more wins than
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I did too. It's very weird. But see, everybody thinks she got it for French Lieutenant's Woman, and she didn't. Mm. I think she got nominated. She got it for Kramer versus Kramer.
And Sophie's Choice.
And let's face it, Meryl was brilliant in Julia. And when you do a funny voice and all that, you know, you kind of expect to win. And Sandra's, why I hated Monique.
I really love that voice. I didn't actually see the film, but it sounded funny.
Her Julia Child.
It was wonderful. And the thing is about Monique that made me mad was because Monique did what is really easy for an actress. As an actress, I can tell you it is very easy just to sit there and cry and, you know, can't get your breath and the whole thing. It is a lot harder to do what looks like it's easy, which is what Sandra does.
Which brings us to the winner. And the winner was Sandra Bullock. Now, when she was at, we played this clip on the Saturday show, actually, when she won the Golden Globe, Mickey Rourke read out the nomination, and he almost looked surprised. Mm-hmm. Now, everybody was kind of like, really? Mm-hmm. What happened? You know, where? I mean, just face it. This is the woman who, in the last year, has come out with The Proposal and All About Steve.
And Miss Congeniality, too.
And a couple of years ago, Miss Congeniality, too. And you look at it and go, how does she go from that to winning an Oscar, right?
But this is the same woman who, after Speed, we thought, watch her because she's so fantastic.
That's right.
She makes it look effortless. And it was lovely to watch someone with an authentic dialect.
We actually forget how good her performance in While You Were Sleeping was.
Oh, absolutely.
She was wonderful.
She was wonderful.
Film.
And she is from the South, so she got the dialect right, which, you know, nice for me.
Unlike Precious, she's coming from a true story.
Yes,
and so
absolutely.
She's got a real person.
For those who don't
with.
Know, Precious is just made up, and that's pretty easy to do. It's just make up, you know, what do we throw in there? Oh, more abuse.
Let's
you
put
know.
As many hardships as we can
y'all,
in.
You know, whereas and she has a Down syndrome baby. Oh, that's good. No.
Whereas Sandra Bullock is playing Mrs. Tui, and she, who was in the audience as well, and she's had to work damn hard to get there. And she's got this beautiful, understated, in-control performance, which, I mean, it made a believer out of Josh. Because Josh on Saturday said, I've never been a Sandra Bullock fan. I don't like her. And yet, in The Blind Side, he said she won me over.
And I love her sense of humor. And I love that she when she got up and said, do you really think I deserve it or have I just worn you down? You just got it. She always ends up, you know, and she brought a lump to my throat. And I think she's won. And when she said Meryl Streep, oh, you're a great kisser.
And at the end she goes, and I want to thank my partner, Meryl.
Yeah, just everything about it. I think the woman's won. And she does do producing. Let's not, for those of you that don't know, TV series in America.
Rodriguez?
Yeah, I was going to say Everybody Loves Raymond, but no. Yeah, it's the one that.
Yeah, I forget what his name is.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Our
but she also produces films, too.
She produces films.
I think she produced 28 Days Later, which is the one about the recovering alcoholic. Yeah. So, yeah, she's a tough, smart cookie, and I think, and they said, it's her first nomination, her first win.
That's amazing.
You know, and this is like out of nowhere, and she got a standing ovation when she got up.
It was a popular win. Yeah. And even Meryl said, you know, good on you, don't worry about it. You know, like it's, you know, everybody knows Meryl's still going to get another one, and you know, well, I mean, and there's so many awards. I mean, there are so many awards.
Meryl and Helen Mirren will both be nominated again next year, so don't worry.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, I mean, Helen won it for last year, and then she was nominated again this year. There comes a point where, you know, and Meryl's nominations alone and all the other wins she's had at the BAFTAs and the Golden Globes, they validate her, for God's sake.
Absolutely.
You know?
Well, I don't think Meryl needs validation as well. That's the point. I think, now, the popular win in The Min was definitely Jeff Bridges, who finally got his due. Because
everybody, I mean, and again, standing ovation because it was so popular. And,
yes.
You know.
Nicholas, yes.
I just want to say something, but we probably passed it, but, like, remember this for the documentary? This guy put up a post saying "Save."
Oh, yeah, we hadn't got the documentary yet. In the documentary category, the film In the Cove. And they showed that when they got up to actually accept the award, one of them gave his political statement. I was wondering if we're going to get to an Oscars without a political statement.
Yeah.
And they did it.
Well,
so
we also had Pushy Women pushing the guy for best. What's that best?
Oh doc? Man, what was that?
Oh my God, I'm waiting for that to be written up.
What was that? That was
best doco. No, it wasn't best doco. It was best. What's the best short? Oh my God, my brain's gone. Did you write? You should write it down. And the black guy's trying to. It was a short documentary.
Short documentary.
For the singer,
That's right. Short documentary. And the director got up. Black guy got up, or African American guy got up, and he was giving his speech. And this Jewish woman, this big overbearing Stan's mother type Jewish woman, bursts on the scene, pushes him out of the way, and basically just starts talking
badly.
If looks could kill. Oh. God. The guy looking at her was like, you're taking my thunder.
That was bad. Yeah, so it'd be interesting to read the background on that.
Yeah, it would be interesting to follow that up. I mean, as I say, we're coming off this absolutely hot off the heels of the Oscars. So,
but the shorts are often these things, or the docos, things that people never have, can see. You know, it's really, really hard. But The Cove looked powerful. They did. It's about the Japanese killing the dolphins. What is it with Japanese and seafood? Whales, dolphins.
Japanese and sea mammals.
And they had you like that too, didn't you, Nikki? That shot, they pulled up.
Yeah.
And what was it?
There was blood in the water.
The whole water was filled with blood. That was just very powerful.
Gross.
Yeah. So, it looked pretty gross. But that's one thing about the Oscars. It does make you think, oh, I got to see that. So, you know.
Yeah, I think there's a few films you want to catch up with now. I actually managed to see 9 of the 10 nominated films this year, which for me
pretty amazing.
It's a good effort. Because,
especially down here.
The only one I haven't seen is The Coen Brothers' Serious Man, which I really want to see. But it just looks a little bit...
They look like they've lost their sense of humor, though.
Yeah,
they worry me.
A little bit
have
honest.
To say about the best actor, it was very nice to see. I'm not sure Morgan Freeman was being gracious, but I know that Colin Firth was, and I think that's wonderful. And, you know, people... I think everybody realized that it was Jeff's turn and time.
Yeah, and I think...
Although I'd like to know where his brother is, wouldn't you?
I would like to know where his brother is. Maybe he's not invited to the Oscars
I know,
anymore.
That's very strange.
But Jeff came up and he was the dude.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, he's going, thank you, man.
Yeah, I think it was a wonderful win, and now we can, you know, he's done it.
We can put Jeff back in the box
now. Yeah, exactly.
So, you know, now we get to the main event of the day, basically. Actually, before we get to the main event, let's have a look at some of these other... Best Animated Feature, Up. Was it a surprise to anybody?
Yay!
Well, I, as you know, I think that it should have won, but there gets a point where you go, really, should Pixar? They can't put a foot wrong.
I put this out to the listeners. I don't have IMDb in front of me. Have they ever not won?
No, they haven't. No, they've always won.
Their feature films have always won?
Always won.
I'm wondering about Cars.
No, they did, because we went. It wasn't their strongest, but, you know. They haven't.
All right, so Up, no surprise. I think one of the popular wins was Michael Giacchino, which nobody pronounced his name correctly. Mm. And I'm probably not doing it justice right now, but he won for the score for Up, which I think is one of the great scores
of
the year.
Yeah. And the interpretive dancer screwed it. So, you know,
the interpretive dancer screwed ridiculous. Everything. Was there really any competition at all for the special effects against Avatar?
Oh, no.
No, I don't think so. Yet. And makeup, the only film that really deserved it was Star Trek, because when they showed the 3 nominated films, it's like one of them was like, what? We're putting blush and rouge?
Blush
on
you know, Young Victoria.
Right, so Star Trek takes that one.
I'd also like to say that one thing I'd like to see about a category is taken in consideration, and this is me dreaming, it'll never happen, but sometimes wouldn't it be nice to take into consideration how much money they had to work with? Because when you think about Avatar, it was unlimited. With Titanic, he fought every step of the way, because people said, you can't have a $200 million film. That's ridiculous. And so now he gets unlimited. But I just find it, when you put it up against a film, like, we all know that Sherlock Holmes didn't have much of a budget, and they did wonderful stuff with that.
That's true. I mean, Sherlock Holmes still had $100 million to play with. But,
but
I look at this and I go... No matter how much money you have, cannot hide a crappy film.
Yeah, but I'm talking about effects.
Yeah,
when we come up against effects and stuff, there comes a point where you go, you can't compete
because
with that.
Because all I can think of is, as a case against your argument, is the film Dune, Dina De Laurentiis produced Dune,
You brought that up,
was the most expensive film ever made at that time. It was $40 million for the 80s, which was outrageous.
Yeah, right,
and its effects look like shit, quite frankly. You know, I mean, the film looks terrible.
Well, that's true. It's like person with no taste and lots of money.
Absolutely. That's the point.
That's
I think it comes down to...
But it's just most of it. I don't know. I find most of the time it's... But although this year, it was proved. What's the fact? The lowest grossing film.
Got the
highest. Against the highest grossing film. Yeah.
That's true. We'll come back to that 1 second. Editing, song. I mean, most of these were very predictable.
Oh, song. I was, again, disappointed, as you know, because I love Randy Newman. And here he is nominated twice, and they managed to pull... You know,
well, once again, Crazy Heart is the popular go at this point. Screenplay, adapted screenplay, Precious, from the novel based on Sapphire.
Sorry,
Original screenplay, To the Hurt Locker. Now, I thought when Mark Boal got up, I thought he was really sensitive about the whole thing.
Yeah.
He was actually seems like he was really genuinely surprised that people were interested in his film.
Yeah,
you know?
And I think for those of you that don't know, let's do a tiny little trivia because it's kind of interesting. Hurt Locker has had lots of controversy. The veterans for it and against it, going up. So some veterans are unhappy, saying, "Oh, you're making it like we're cowboys." So they've had to fight through a lot of controversy. Now at the moment, they're being sued. interviewed by a veteran who's saying that they based it on him. And we also know, not many people may know this, that one of the producers got banned from the Oscars because he sent out an email campaign saying, you should vote for us because we didn't have much money. Comes back to that. We have a little film, but unlike Avatar. And what he did is he criticized another film. Well, he spoke about the film, and you're not allowed to do that.
Yeah.
And they said, we won't. The worst they could have done is said, you will not get a producer credit on this. So they didn't do that. They just slapped his wrist and said, you are not allowed at the Oscars. So you don't screw with the Academy's rule. Is a thing.
Look at Trey Parker.
Trey Parker and Matt Stone. They wore dresses to the Oscars.
They've been lifetime banned.
Yeah, and Cher got in trouble for her big stuff in the '80s.
Yep.
So you know, and that. But see, that's again what makes me a bit mad because then people get so conformist. So there is a line. It makes me a bit crazy. As we all know, Weinstein went out and basically. Bought Shakespeare in Love.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, yeah, it's a really, you know, the politics is so funny about
the
Oscars.
Well, he couldn't buy Inglorious Bastards this year.
No. Very interesting.
I think that those days are well behind
him. But
it's
interesting with all the controversy and everything going on that there was still this roller coaster for Hurt Locker. And as I said, it's like an Iraqi war movie that got it right and in its time.
I think that the secret behind the Hurt Locker is it's not about the Iraqi war.
Yes, yeah.
It is about a team of demolitions experts who just happened to be in Iraq. And I think that's what makes the film work. Mm. I think rather than trying to make a film about the Iraqi war, they are making a film about people.
Yeah, and I like what you said about why they should have won editing. That's an interesting
thing. Well, yeah, because when they won the editing award, I said, well, absolutely well-deserved because the film is as tense as they come.
And that's what editing does.
And my lovely wife, Katie, actually watched only about 10 minutes of the film before she had to actually leave. She said, I can't watch it. It's making me too anxious.
So that's good editing.
You know, and that's the thing. I mean, when you look at a film, when it's that tightly cut, that you sit there and you're on edge from the minute it starts to the last frame.
And people don't realize how important the editor is. I mean, they get the laughs, they get the tension, they make it so the film isn't flaccid.
Mm.
And it's not just about making the shots match. It's about, you know, what feeling you get out of it. So I think that's well-deserved.
Absolutely. Now, I want to talk very briefly about costumes because I want to ask a question. And I want to say, look, Young Victoria won, and I want to say that, you know, why is it if you do a Victorian-era costume drama that has frilly collars, you will win the
Oscar?
What
did you say? It's got ruffles.
It's got ruffles. It's going to win, you know? And you look at it and go, yeah, there was another film that had ruffles too, but it wasn't Victorian.
No.
It's got to be Victorian ruffles, and you win the Oscar. Mm-hmm. And I think it was very, very gracious of the woman who won the award, who basically said, this is for all those people who do contemporary films and are never given a look at.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
How many times will films with ruffles win until we say, we know how to do that?
Yes, and you probably got that out of a warehouse somewhere from another film. I mean, I know.
I think we've time to move on. We've done the ruffles, all right? We've been letting films win that have ruffles since Amadeus.
Yeah, we have. Absolutely.
I think it's time to move on from there. Okay, let's talk about the big one, okay? Well, actually, one other thing I want to talk about, and then we'll throw it to Nicholas, who's got one. I want to talk about cinematography very quickly.
Yeah.
Because
I didn't see all this, so I'm just learning.
I actually think this was a little controversial because Avatar won for cinematography, and yes, its photography is very good for the live-action stuff, but let's not forget that all of the stuff on Pandora is computer-generated. Mm-hmm. Now, yes, you still have a cinematographer who has to set virtual lights for the whole thing, but is it in the same category cinematography?
I think
you know,
they have to look at their
Which is where you actually have a physical camera in the physical world and take photographs, right? And if that's the situation, then I think Hurt Locker was robbed, because Hurt Locker's cinematography is great and very tense, once again, with that editing. And I just think Avatar is in a slightly... its cinematography is more in the special effects category.
Absolutely.
You know? And so I just think there's a bit
And the other technical one to talk about, I'm so delighted that Hurt Locker got the sound editing, because a lot of people don't realize that's exactly what was wrong with the Oscars this year. The mix was not right. And when you've got explosions and things like that, you've got to get your mix right.
Yeah.
And you know, otherwise you can't hear it. And it's been said many times, the slogan, audiences will forgive a lot of what they can't see. They won't forgive it when they can't hear it.
Hmm.
They just turn out.
I agree.
So, you know, that's why I got so mad at the Oscars.
Sound is incredibly important when it comes to, I mean, film. People will sit there and have ghosty images that roll on their TV set as long as they can hear it.
That's exactly right.
You know?
Yeah.
Well, not so much anymore. It's digital. But in the older days.
Yeah.
All right. Let's talk about Nicholas, you had something to add.
We're talking about the main parts. That's
okay. Oh, yeah. We're going into the main ones now. Let's first of all talk about Best Director. Historical moment.
Oh, Catherine Bigelow won Best Director.
Absolutely.
And I'm as a woman, I got a lump. In my throat.
I thought you meant in your heart.
Well, I got a lump too, because I'm going to say that Catherine Bigelow Supermilf won.
Yeah, she is.
All right, not to be sexist.
She looks so healthy.
She is healthy. She is gorgeous. Yeah. She is completely with it. She looks like a nice person, but I got to tell you, she looked like she was going to faint.
And I think she had her Spanx too tight. I really think these women, if they're going to be up for an award, all of you women, stop wearing the girdles. You know, you can't breathe. It's like Victorian times.
And I get really angry, and so as do you. We get very angry at these actors who go, oh, it's so nervous. Miley Cyrus did it this time. I was so nervous up here,
what?
Right? And you say, you're an actor. Get over
it. That's what you do for a living.
I completely understand when the technical people, like directors, get nervous because they're not used to standing in the public eye. She didn't expect it. She expected, now for those who don't know, she is the ex-wife of James Cameron.
One of them.
And James Cameron actually kick-started her career. Yeah. So, and he produced a couple of her early films. And so you look at it and go, she was obviously expecting her ex-husband to win. She was not expecting this at all.
Ida Lupino in the 50s was nominated, but this is the first woman to ever win.
As director.
And this is just, you know, unbelievable.
We actually had two milestones here as well, because we also had an African-American also nominated. If he had won, it would have been the first time an African-American director
had
won.
It's bizarre. And it was funny to look up on the stage and see the five guys surrounding her. And you're thinking, four guys. It was three in the back, one there. Four guys and her. And you think, it's still a boys' club.
Well, and this was one of the things the three guys in the back were the actors, they're going to be the Iraqi soldiers, Michael Renner and company. But I was saying to Mirren as well that this is Catherine Bigelow's forte there. She directs boy films.
She doesn't do chick flicks. She does dick flicks.
She does dick flicks. She started her career with Near Dark, the vampire film with Bill Paxton. She went on to direct Point Break with Keanu Reeves. She directed K-19 Widowmaker, Blue Steel with Jamie Lee Curtis. She only directs...
Oh, Blue Steel. I hate that movie.
So she only directs boy films, boy action thrillers and so forth, and she does them with such panache and you would never know that a woman was directing these films. She has the balls of a man, really does, and she is she's been a favorite of mine for a long time, and I am actually really happy that the first woman to win an Oscar
it's fantastic.
Yes, Nicholas.
Are we up to the last part yet?
We're coming to it. We're coming to it. One second. We're coming to it.
I want
to
say it.
I just wanted to say, this is part of that last part. Okay, so, Nicholas, hit us with it. The best film of the year was...
Catherine Bigelow!
No. Best film of the year was... Name of the film?
Hurt Locker!
Yay. Thank you.
Which was a bit of a surprise. We thought they would... Because that's what the Oscars have a tendency to do. We'll give Avatar all the technicals, and we'll give Catherine her director moment, but we will give the film.
Well, as soon as she won Best Director, I went, Avatar's going to win now. Mm. They've given Hurt Locker screenplay, director, editing.
That's what they do.
They've done it. And they're going to, because they want, and let's face it, 20th Century Fox would have just been drooling at the mouth going, we'll be able to market this film as the Oscar-winning, most successful film of all time.
Yeah.
You know, it's the final feather in the cap.
And it would have been like Driving Miss Daisy. It was got best film, but it was a film that directed itself.
Absolutely.
You know? But they surprised us.
They did the right thing. And when they called it out and they dragged her from backstage, because she'd only just walked off the stage,
I thought
she was going to puke.
I did too.
She was visibly shaking. She looked like she could barely hold the two statues. So she was.
And it's nice that she's saying it's for the armed services guys because, you know.
Well, everybody in uniform.
It's so tough. Everybody in uniform, even firemen. I mean, you know. And it is for its time. I mean, I'm glad that because, again, the Americans are fighting a war that nobody's paying any attention to. They won't even post the stats of who's getting killed.
No.
You know, it's ridiculous. So that is. I knocked my microphone. That is a fantastic thing to happen. And I bet Cameron isn't. Happy.
Well, he didn't look happy in the audience.
No, he didn't look
happy. I'm sure he went, yes, Catherine's made a lovely film, but really, I'm better.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah? And as we will go back to, Hurt Locker was the lowest grossing film so far. So it will be interesting to see what happens to the box office because people aren't going to see it.
Now, anybody who listens to this, please go see Hurt Locker.
Yeah.
And because it really does need, you know, even if you don't think it's going to be your cup of tea, and yes, I know it's going to be a hard watch for some of you, but it needs your help. It needs the box office. And look, those in the States, it's already come out on DVD in the States. It's in the cinemas here now. Go buy the DVD.
And you women, go see it. Support, you know, your sister.
Absolutely. You may think it's just a big boy film, but it is directed by a woman. This is Catherine Bigelow's film beginning to end.
Yeah.
And also go see it because Jeremy Renner, as the lead star in it, is phenomenal.
The humor he brings to it has been noted, and that's important. So I think it's a, can I also say that...
can I just quote?
Yeah.
If I'm going to die, I'm going to die comfortable.
Yeah, I love that. Can I also say that I will, you know, I don't like the conformity and all that, but I do believe in respect, and I think you should respect anything you're doing, award ceremonies or
anything.
Are we
going to talk about a certain Australian?
Yeah. Sam Worthington, you're a prick. You know, I'm sorry. You don't come out chewing gum as a host of the Academy Award, you know, giving out awards. I mean, I'm sorry. That just pissed me off.
Yeah, look, he walks out on stage. He looks unshaven. He's not wearing a tux.
Yeah.
He's unshaven. He's not wearing a tux. He's
wearing
just idiot. He's wearing
a blues, special kind.
He's wearing a Blues Brothers tie, and he's chewing gum. And all I can sit there and think is, where do you think you are?
I know. I mean, as Judge Judy would say, she'd say that too. You know, where do you think you're coming today? Yeah. It really aggravates me. And I mean, I have to say again, as you heard me say before, but you know, I really have to put one kudos to the Americans. The Americans are so generous with their entertainment industry. And you have to think, if they did not allow all the creative people from other countries that they do into their awards, and we're talking millions of awards, whether it's the New York Critics Circle or the you know, Golden Globes or whatever the hell it is, they would not be as rich as they are with their creativity. Everybody goes, oh, Hollywood rules the world. One of the reasons is because they're so all-embracing of all different cultures.
Absolutely.
One thing the Australians could take a huge page out of their book, because Australians are very closed. They do not allow outsiders into their award ceremonies.
Remember loads of Australian films? They actually don't have any Americans or any English or anything.
And look, the only other country that is as generous as the American industry is the English
industry.
Because the BAFTAs this year had a huge number of Americans and Australians being nominated.
Remember, we said last year that there was one American who won the major awards? Everybody else was a
firm. That's
right.
It's
amazing.
I agree. And I think that we need to take a cue from this and say, rather than close the industry off, which is basically killing the Australian industry,
let's
open it up and see if we can get a flood of money in.
Absolutely.
You know, and see if we can actually do something about fixing
talent.
It.
And I have to say, again, one thing about the Oscars that was good was keep going back to Steve and Alec and doing, you know, their funny bits. I would like to see a stop of them coming out, doing their bit, and then going, and now we introduce, why are we introducing someone else?
If they've already hit the stage, let them continue on at this point. I also think they should take a page out of the BAFTAs, quite frankly. I watched the BAFTAs live, a week ago now. We're finally at the end of award season,
thank God.
We should actually mention the Razzies while we're here.
Oh, yeah.
Because those were actually drawn last night. And Sandra Bullock now goes down in history as winning the worst actress of the year and the best actress of the year. First time ever in the same year. She won for All About Steve for the Razzie.
Yeah, guess that? Yeah, I think that was coming.
and Blindside for the Oscar. So it's the first...
I'll bet you she goes to accept it, too, because she's got such
really
a good sense of humor.
I really hope she does, because I think it's... The only other time that an actress has won both was Halle Berry, but it wasn't in the same year. They're about 3 years apart.
And we don't have anything like that in Australia, because one of our major film critics said, oh, we could never do something like that. That would hurt people's feelings. Get a sense of humor.
It's ridiculous. You know? Yeah, so I think we need to take a page out of the BAFTAs, which I watched, and basically say, in the BAFTAs, they have basically one host who runs the whole thing, and then on the major awards, they bring out a guest to give the awards. Mm. But the BAFTAs actually is so much shorter than the Oscars.
Because the Oscars are so obviously a platform as well for up-and-coming stars or people who want to rejuvenate their careers, and you just go, knock it off. You know, get yourself a separate show.
And why
show.
Do we have the host? If we only have them for 5 minutes, you know?
It's crazy.
So, I was hoping we'd see. And we actually got more of these two hosts than I think we've had of a host in previous years.
Absolutely.
But I'd like to see even more.
Me too.
I remember when Johnny Carson used to do the Oscars.
Or Bob Hope.
And we had him all the way through.
Absolutely.
I remember back in the 70s when Carson was doing them, we'd have him throughout the whole show.
Yes.
You know, even when other people came on, he was still on stage at a podium.
We didn't keep throwing to more people.
No, that's right. So I just would like to see them try and go back to that a little bit. I think that's everything I've got.
Did we cover everything?
We've got.
That's all on my list.
Yeah, we've pretty much covered every award, and we've got.
Overall conclusion is that it was better this year than it has been in years.
Yeah.
They need to stop the fucking interpretive dance.
stop the long, boring talking about lead actors
sniffing each other's butts.
Yeah, we need to.
And
get rid of the shrining moments.
And let's say, in the in memoriam, I would like to. I don't want James Taylor sitting there.
No, but that wasn't actually what I was going to say. What I was going to say though was I really did like the tribute to John Hughes. I thought they did a really nice
job
highlighting him.
They did a tribute to John Hughes, and that wasn't. wasn't embarrassing like when they get a tribute to Sophia and brought her out, no. Sophia Loren, and everybody stood up, and it's all, it wasn't earnest like that. It was really nice seeing all the stars that he had nurtured.
The only thing that would have topped it for me is if they had brought up his son, who looks just like him, by and given him a plaque or something.
Yes,
given
that would have been
sort of tribute. That would have been nice. Other than that, though, I thought that tribute was well handled. Bringing out all of the past Judd Nelsons and everything was really refreshing.
I would like to
nice.
See the in memoriam done differently, because there are so many people who are dying that, the, of course, younger people go, who the hell's that? Never heard of them. Why don't we just show a few very short clips and stuff? They were showing them, but they were showing them in such a way that we couldn't really tell.
Well, they only showed clips of people already knew.
No, exactly.
All the people who nobody knew, they just showed a black and white photo and moved
on. Yeah, and I just think that I'd like to see that change. And also, I'd like to, you know, we say we didn't like the direction, and I always say, why? Can I say why I didn't like the direction of the Oscars in general? It's because there were too many times when they were way out in a wide shot. We couldn't even see who was up there speaking in those moments when we were throwing to the best picture clips. And you're going, who is that?
And we're on a big screen. I've got a great big plasma screen downstairs, and we couldn't even make out who they were.
There were too many wide shots. And just in general, the direction was flabby. And
it was really limp. It was all limp, all wide shots.
From above, and
these weird angles, and you sit there and go, just get in there. Let me see who's on stage.
Yeah,
you know?
I didn't like it at all. So if we get the sound mix in the direction next year, take away the sniffing of the bottoms.
And please, please, please.
We need to get rid of the lining up five people and talking about these people and worshiping.
And please get rid of the interpretive dance. Just make it like the movies.
Yes,
got rid of the interpretive dance. We used to do it in the 70s. They got rid of it, and now it seems to be leaking back in again.
Scaring me. The only other thing I'd put up with the lineup of the sniffing of the bottoms is if they turn it into a roast. That would be fun. But I don't think, you know, we
almost had a little bit of that, though, with some of them, because they were funny people.
They were funny people, but I don't think Morgan Freeman could take it. You know,
Stanley Tucci was kind of doing that with Meryl Streep.
That was funny.
Which was quite funny.
So, yeah, overall, it was not as painful to watch.
I think it was actually the best Oscars I've seen in quite some time.
Many years. I'd like to see those guys come back next year.
Yes, I would really like to see Steve Martin and Alec Baldwin come back. They had a lot of fun doing it.
Yeah.
They obviously really enjoyed themselves.
And as a kid, Nikki, it wasn't too boring for you, was it? You even came halfway through.
Yeah.
You enjoyed it, didn't you?
Yeah.
Yeah. So
but that's probably just because it came halfway through.
I think even had to endure the entire thing.
Good one. All right.
Well, we're going to get ourselves out of here. That was our Oscar wrap-up. I think we've said just about everything we have to say.
Yeah.
If you haven't seen the Oscars this year, I'm sure clips will be circling the
Get the Neil Patrick Harris.
And the opening monologue.
And the opening monologue, yeah.
Those are the two real highlights.
Duologue, yeah.
And I would suggest look for Sandra Bullock's acceptance speech, which is a joy.
Yeah.
And there is some
I had a tear.
Real heartfelt emotion in there. So,
and for you people who think, because I've had people say to me, oh, that looks like that, I know, kind of American sappy crap, that movie. You know, go see The Blind Side, because it you know, it's nice and it's funny and it's got her, and I think that it should be supported.
And it can
too.
Even win over a jaded person like Josh.
Exactly.
So, all right, we got a little bit of housekeeping. We'll just say that if you agree or disagree with anything that we've said today, too bad. No, if you've agreed or disagreed with anything we've said today, feedback@geekactually.com. You can also join our Facebook fan page at facebook.com/geekactually, or you can leave us a voicemail, Sydney number 02-8011-3167. And if you want to buy jazzy new merchandise from us, we got cups and t-shirts and all sorts of good stuff. You can go to cafepress.com.au/geekactually. Don't forget to listen to the main show on Saturday at 12 p.m. Live, or it'll be on iTunes on Sunday. In the meantime, go see more movies. You don't see enough movies, and all of life's questions are answered in the movies.
In the movies.
You bet. And we'll see you all at the real show.
Bye. Let me be.